Hi, I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today we'll be talking with two front women of bands for a segment called Women of Alternative Rock. These women are not only rocking and rolling, but they're also in midlife, although they're not going to admit it. Wendy Gadzuk is a mixed media assemblage artist and musician living in Oakland, California. Originally from the Washington, D.C. area, she went to school in Philadelphia where she studied jewelry and metalsmithing and began her career of playing music in 1997. Over the next 16 years, she moved to Tucson and finally L.A., having success in a few touring bands and releasing their music before taking a much-needed break. The result of this break was the beginning of the band she currently fronts, Andalusia Rose. They self-released their second EP, First Stone, on CD and vinyl, and are about to embark on a few short West Coast and Southwestern tours in support of the record. Andalusia Rose is different than the punk-inspired music of her previous bands, leaning in a more bluesy, soulful, slightly psychedelic, ethereal direction. Joanne Rogan is a lead singer, 48. Of the band Thorazine, a hardcore punk band which formed in 1993 and spent almost a decade touring and released two singles and two albums on Hell Yeah Records. She married the guitarist for the band in 2000, and the band broke up during her first pregnancy in 2003. After two kids and almost 11 years apart, Thorazine reunited on the set of a documentary film about the Dead Squirrel wedding that appeared on their first album cover. The band reunited and have recently returned from a West Coast tour, their first in 16 years. She is also the author of the blog Punky Mama and individually blogs at motheringinthemiddle.com and other websites. So welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Joanne, we just heard a bit from your song, It'll Never Be All Right, soon to be released on the Punk Aid for Autism CD. That would be on punkaid.org sometime in December. So referencing the fact that you have a special needs child, how important is it to reflect your life in your music?
Well, you know, I only can write what I know, and I'm the type of person that I'm a realist. So when I write lyrics, it tends to reference my life because that's what I know.
And Wendy, you said that music is something that's in your soul. Some say we don't choose it, it chooses us. It is a thread that connects a universal consciousness and allows us to come together, if only for a moment. It is timeless, it is ageless. Is this your mantra?
It's definitely one of my mantras. I feel like looking at certain musicians' life from the outside, it may seem like not the wisest decision to make financially in other ways, but it's something that I can't seem to get away from, so I've just accepted that it's a part of my life and learned to embrace it.
So you both are somewhat of alternative musicians, and I'm wondering what attracted you to that music, especially if you knew that commercialism was the way to make money and an alternative route becomes that much harder. Wendy, what attracted you to this type of music, even if you knew that financially it would be a harder road?
Well, kind of like Joanne says, I write about what I know, and I create music that I love because there's no guarantees, even if you were to focus on a more mainstream style of music, that you would achieve commercial success. So I figured I can do any job that I don't like. If I'm going to, I might as well do what I love. So, you know, although there are no guarantees anyway of, you know, whether I'm doing what I love or what I don't love, I might as well focus on what I do love and what feeds my soul. And that's just what I'm drawn to.
How about you, Joanne?
I fell in love with, like, harder edge music when I was about 13, 14 years old. And I just never fell out of love with it. Like, a lot of things in my life have changed, but I never stopped loving punk rock. And when it came down to making music, I wanted to make that kind of music, and I wanted to be angry and aggressive, and so I did. And I wasn't going to choose making this music. You know, it was never about the money. It's always about the passion.
So is this your full-time job, Wendy?
No, it's not. I wish it was. I would love for it to be my full-time job. It's a juggling act. I've been working at a restaurant now for about 8 years, you know, and I also do the visual arts as well. So kind of a juggling act between the three of those things, and just kind of, it's a hustle, doing little things here and there to make money.
How about you, Joanne?
Well, I'm a part-time bartender. I parent two special needs kids, so I need to have a flexible schedule. I do some virtual assistantship stuff. I work in social media. I did work as an IT person for 7 years, so no, music has never been my full-time job. But like Wendy, if it could be, it would be wonderful, but it's never been.
Tell me a little bit about the music that you did when you first started in this profession and the kind of music you play now. Wendy, is there a difference?
There is a difference for me. I actually started playing in bands with, I was never in a band with Joanne, but our band started playing together at the beginning
we were in a band together briefly.
Oh, we were in a band together. I don't know if we're allowed to say the name of that band on the air right now, but we did play in a band together. That was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I started out in a band called Dr. Bob's Nightmare and then the 440s, and that was definitely more punk-inspired. And, you know, that was kind of the music that I played for about the next 15 years or so. But I've been collecting, you know, more of a kind of bluesy, soulful, you know, somewhat more country-inspired songs that were not necessarily appropriate for the bands that I had been playing in. And I got to a point where I decided I really wanted to do the next thing, you know, the next thing that was kind of on my plate and not, I don't know, I feel like to a certain extent, when you achieve a certain level of success, whether it's on a minor, small level or a big level, people start to expect a certain thing from you. And I was feeling like a little bit like I was writing a certain style of music out of obligation rather than what I really felt like my creative growth was leading me to. And that's kind of where I am now, which is, you know, just doing something a little bit new and a little bit unexpected and putting it out there for the world.
Does the bluesy soulful genre allow you to be more introspective, or does it reflect a lifetime of experiences? What does it give you?
Yeah, I think it does. It allows me, just kind of for me in my life right now, the freedom to really write about kind of whatever I feel like. And definitely some of the songs are a lot more introspective and a lot more, yeah, my life experience has definitely shaped the things that I that find themselves in my songs, whether it's kind of metaphorically or literally. And I feel like I have a lot of somebody who has lived a lot of years. I have, you know, more of a well to draw from when it comes to writing and subject material.
Joanne, has Thorazine changed over the years, or do you think punk rock is where it started and where it'll end?
No, I mean, I think punk rock's changed a ton, and Thorazine's changed a ton, too. I mean, we came together. We were not the musicians we are today. We were all very green and not as good at our musicianship. You know, we weren't as good, but I think now coming back to it, we're more hardcore than we were before, which is pretty incredible. You know, we've had more things to be angry about, I guess, that we need to rage against, and it's pretty interesting.
I'm very fascinated by that. I heard you say that a few minutes ago about the anger. Tell me a little bit about the anger, and tell me how that gets channeled in this direction.
Well, you know, I grew up with a really abusive childhood, and Thorazine was the reaction of that childhood, as a place to put all that rage and anger in a positive way and continue to live a really functional life. So that's where it came from. And it's just, now I have new rage because I have all the like grief and anger that comes with being a special need parent to two kids with special needs. It's just another new well of anger.
So is it hard for you to stay relevant in today's youth-obsessed world? You're facing many women in music who really look pretty. Do you agree?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I lived in L.A. for a couple of years, and there's nowhere where that's more in your face than L.A. In every aspect. You know, I remember looking, pouring over Craigslist looking for jobs, which, you know, I was looking for bartending jobs at the time, which are highly coveted in that area because everyone's in the entertainment industry, and seeing ads saying for a bartender, which you needed a headshot for, we're looking for right now, if not has-beens, that kind of thing. And, you know, and just everything, the industry, the youth-obsessed culture, and being constantly bombarded by that starts to wear at your self-esteem and your sense of self after a while. And I think for me, I had to leave that environment to really come to grips with who I was at that moment as an artist and where I am right now. And I feel like now, because I've taken a break and I've really kind of reevaluated myself, and I'm doing something that's really true to who I am inside, and really that's my intention, is just to express what's happening with me right now and trying to communicate that in a way that hopefully people will respond to. That feeling of you're not good enough, you're not young enough, you're not pretty enough, that has kind of lifted, because that's not really the message of what art is about. And I feel like when you're really connected to that, to your root and your core, that stuff doesn't matter.
Joanne, when you toured with Thorazine this past summer, and again, it's your first time in 16 years, how did you feel about being an older woman? How did you feel about not being the prettiest woman, again, given that the stereotypical woman in music has a certain aura, kind of look, kind of sound? Were you faced with that at all?
You know, I thought I was going to, and I was really nervous before we left. And, like, the whole time in Thorazine getting back together and coming back to it in your late 40s has been really odd, because I have this, like, very normal mom life, and then I go off, and every weekend I scream for 3 hours. And we have shows and stuff like that, and it's been the opposite. It's not been an issue at all, and I really always thought it would be. And the feedback's been so positive, and it's just really heartening to see and hear and feel. But yeah,
I was just saying how I saw you guys for the first time in 15 years, you know, a couple months ago, and you were awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it feels great. And people have been responding really positively, and it's not been, oh, you're older. You know, that's not really been. Now, being a woman has still been an issue, but not being older.
So when you get up there 5 years from now, if that's still a possibility, at some point, do you feel like you will feel antiquated? Or do you think you can just keep going until you've had enough, Wendy?
I really don't know. You know, I always felt like there was kind of a cap on how long I could do this for. And I'm like, I'm glad I have my visual art, because I can do that until I'm 90. But I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. So, yeah, as for right now, I just kind of try to take it one day at a time and focus on doing what I love. And when it's no longer feeding me, then I'll have to reevaluate.
I didn't ask you, what's your current age?
I just turned 45.
And Joanne?
I'm 48.
Same question again. Do you think that Thorazine will continue for a number of years?
You know, I don't know. We're really having an amazing time, because 3/4 of the band are original members that we've known each other since 1993. And so it's like family. So going on Thorazine tour is kind of like going on family vacation, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, I don't know. We're taking it like 1 month, you know, show at a time, and it's been just so fun. And when it stops being so rewarding, that's when you start to reexamine it. But right now, it's extremely rewarding, and it's been really wonderful.
We're talking to two women, front women for bands on either side of the country. Joanne Rogan is lead singer for Thorazine out of Philadelphia, and Wendy Gadzuk is out of California. Andalusia Rose is the name of her band. Talk to me a little bit about women in music. What kind of discrimination did you feel when you first started, and how do you perceive that same discrimination now? Wendy?
Well, you know, just kind of coming out of the punk rock music scene, I feel like for the most part it's pretty supportive, and I didn't feel, you know, there's definitely things, it's more subtle. You know, I never felt like anybody said, oh, you can't do that because you're a woman. But things like walking into a music store with my boyfriend, looking at guitars and having them immediately talk to him instead of me. Playing in a band, I forgot about this, because when Andalusia Rose started, we had a second guitar player as well. Most of my bands, I've been the guitar player along with another male guitar player, and we both play leads. And there have been times when we're playing a show and I start playing a lead and I hear the other guy's guitar go up in the monitor because the sound person assumes that it's the guy playing the lead, not me.
That's great.
That kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that I experience.
Joanne.
And I remember being on the road one time and going into a diner, and the guy behind the counter asked if we're in a band. My ex-husband at the time was a drummer, and he said, yeah. And the guy who works there looks at me, and it's like, oh, and are you just traveling along with the band? And I just looked at him. I said, you know what? I'm the singer. I'm the guitar player, and I wrote all the songs, and I booked the tour. So, yeah, it's more from the outside that I've experienced that kind of sexism.
Joanne, how about you?
It's the same as Wendy. I mean, like, I've gone into clubs, and people have told me there's no women in Thorazine, which I thought was pretty funny because I'm the singer. So there's no girls in Thorazine. You got to get your boyfriend to put you on the list. Okay, then.
So
and that's happened a couple times. And it happened this tour, and I was really disappointed about it. And it happened in Portland, Oregon, which I did not expect that to happen there because it's, you know, a bit of a progressive city. But I'm finding the young women who are playing punk rock these days are really incredible. I've gotten to know a lot of them in Philadelphia, and there's so many more than when I played. Like, when Wendy and I were playing punk rock at the same time, there was a handful of us, and, you know, that was it. And there's so many, and they're so excited to play with Thorazine. They're excited to talk to me all the time, and I find them refreshing and really interesting.
Is there a revival, a punk rock revival?
In Philadelphia right now, we've, like, if you go onto the internet, you'll see that we're, like, probably the best punk rock scene in the country. And Philly's always had a really vibrant punk rock scene. But it was all pre-internet. And I think the internet has brought out the vibrancy of what's happening here. And yeah, there's a lot of people playing punk rock here these days.
Wendy, how do you utilize the media, the social media, for greater good now in a way that you might not have before. Do you use it?
Absolutely. And that was one of the hardest things for me after taking a break from being in bands for a couple of years. It's like everything that I knew about how to promote a band was completely out the window, and it was this whole new playing field, and I felt pretty lost. It's overwhelming. There's so many platforms and outlets, and how do you know where you're wasting your time? How do you know what's really going to benefit you? But, of course, just the basic things, having a Facebook page for the band and my art, having a website, Instagram. We're on Twitter. I'm not that good at using Twitter, but I try to get on there every so often. I mean, I've really connected, you know, one of the things that has really helped a lot is just connecting with old musicians and old fans of the 440s, which is my old band, and realizing that these are people who love what I do and people in other bands who can help us across the country by networking on social media, that kind of thing. That's been pretty beneficial and exciting.
That's interesting, but I'm sure that's really tedious.
Very, something extremely.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like, you know, there's just like that where you can connect with anybody, which is great. But it's at the same time, I feel like so many messages get just lost in the wind because everyone, you know, including myself, is bombarded with so many different kinds of stimuli and messages and whatever from people that it's sometimes you have to be even more persistent now than you used to be because people have really short attention spans.
That is true. Joanne, tell me a little bit about how you use social media and what do you do to give yourself a name out there?
Well, it's pretty interesting was that I got involved with social media through blogging because, you know, when blogging gets to the point where you have to, like, kind of publicize what you're writing, you needed to join Twitter and join Facebook, and I was a really early adopter of Twitter and stuff like that. So I kind of had an idea of what social media entailed, but I never did it in the context of a band. But as Florazine has reunited, we kind of first made a Facebook page. It's been slow, but steady. And I try to keep the Florazine page interesting and try to look at it like I would for a client. And I've been finding it really interesting. I've booked most of our tour via Facebook, which in, back in the day, Wendy will attest to it, took a million phone calls to book a tour. And I would be driving in the car and my son would be like telling me what they're saying and he would be typing as I was driving them home from school. Like, I could book the tour from swim team. It made it really flexible and a lot easier, I thought.
Do you remember touring with no GPS?
Oh my God, I can't even imagine not having a GPS on tour, but we did it for years.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Tell me who your mentors were. Joanne, did you have any before you got going?
Wow, you know, the people who really made me want to be in a band were male and in the local scene in Philly.
Like whom?
Jack Gorey. He was in a band called Scab Cadillac. And then there was Mike Isle from Dead Spot. There was Rocco Sacco with the Fabulous Fondas. But there were just a bunch of guys now in Brutal Truth. And they were just always the guys from FOD, which is Flag of Democracy. They've been together for, oh God, 30-something years. Watching them play locally made me feel like I could do it too.
What's the allure of wanting to be like a guy?
Necessarily wanted to be like a guy. I just liked what they were doing. You know, they had the guts to get out there and play. There were not a lot of female role models for someone in punk rock in 1987 in Philadelphia.
How about somebody that you saw across the country? Anybody that you didn't know but witnessed from afar?
It had to be Exene from X.
Yeah. Wendy, did you have any role models?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I was really into Judas Priest and AC/DC, of course, Kiss, even though I was disgusted by them at first. And then I heard their music when I was 8, and I was like, oh, yeah, these guys are cool. And then, you know, there really weren't. Like Joanne said, I don't think it's so much wanting to be like a guy. There just weren't a lot of women who were doing this, you know. And then I discovered Joan Jett. Wow, yeah, I can do this. And then, you know, I guess when I first really started playing music, you know, I played guitar when I was a teenager, and I just never really got it. It just got frustrating to me, and I stopped. And then, you know, when I was in my, I was about 20, 21, and that whole kind of post-grunge, Riot Girl, Courtney Love and Hole, L7, Babes in Toyland, like Kat Magellan, or however you say her name, she was extremely influential to me, just seeing somebody, just a woman get up there in like a lace dress with a guitar and just screaming like a banshee and just like putting her whole heart and soul into it. Man, she's so cool. And I remember just putting on my guitar, looking in the mirror and thinking, I can do this. I can do what she's doing. And that really inspired me at the time.
Wendy, do you mentor any women now, or do you feel like you are a mentor?
I don't know that I would say I specifically mentor any women, but I have gotten, you know, messages from women and girls just over throughout my career as a musician that say that I have inspired them. And that really makes me feel good. There's times where I'm just like, oh my God, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? This is so unrewarding. This is dumb. You know, I should be doing something more productive with my life. And then I get these messages and I'm like, man, this makes it worth it. And I wish, I really would like to play some more all-ages shows with this band, even though part of me is like, oh, it's not punk rock. The kids aren't going to like it. But I hear from people that, you know, one of my friends who's my age says about my band, the thing that's great about your band is my mom would love you and my daughter would love you.
That's
so
great.
That, and I really want to reach out to a younger generation and expose what we're doing to them, too.
Joanne, I know it's a little different for you. You're a mother, you have two children. I'm sure you actually are mentoring other women simply because they see that you actually do have it all. But I wonder if you are consciously aware of your mentoring or if you do mentor other women in music.
Oh, absolutely. There's a number of women in Philly who have become, younger women who have become friends with us through punk rock. We found one woman in particular found me through a compilation we were on years and years ago. And we met up one night and we talked and we've been messaging back and forth. And she regularly tells me how I inspire her, which I find very overwhelming. But at the same time, I think it's really cool for women today to have had role models or other people who blaze the way for them so that they could play music and be mothers and not be mothers and make the choices they want to make and not feel like they have to be the way someone tells them to be, but what they want.
Why do you think there is sexism in music?
You know, just like most of the art, it was male-dominated. And I don't even know if it's conscious sexism. It's just there's sexism ingrained in our culture. And if you watch, like, the Runaways movie, you know, these bands that the Runaways toured with back in the 70s were really threatened by a group of young women who were doing what they were doing. You know, the men kind of needed to make them, kind of put them in their place. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know why. I just think that it is a symptom of our culture. And just like everything else in our culture, there's getting to be less and less of it. But it is so ingrained in our culture that it's going to take a long time for it to completely go away.
Joanne, do you have any thoughts?
You know, it's interesting because it's been, I used to speak back in the late 90s at a class at the University of New Jersey. And the woman who taught the class wrote a book called Pretty and Punk. It's like the women's role in a male subculture. You know, rock and roll was a male subculture to start with, and women then co-opted it to their own. And I think that's where the sexism comes from. It didn't start off as men and women playing music. It was a male subculture.
Do you have any final thoughts for the listener?
I was just thinking, too, about just the question of sexism and how certain things of subject matters that have been really male, like male-dominated, when a woman's voice comes in, our voice is a little bit different. And sometimes, perhaps, what we're writing about, what we're talking about, what we're singing about, what we're creating about is deemed by the culture at large as to be not as important as what the men have to say. And I think that this is really a time when our voices are beginning to be heard, and we're beginning to, women in general, in every aspect of life, our voices are beginning to be heard, and it's beginning to be an important message. And I think our message is a little bit different, and I think it's time that we all embrace that. So that's my final thoughts on this subject.
Joanne?
Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
You know, Wendy just said it so succinctly. I really have no more to say after that. She's right.
So let me just leave one final question for both of you. Why didn't you ever try to form or stick with or move toward all-female bands? Wendy?
I actually did play in a couple all-female bands. Joanne and I played in one together in Philly, but that was more of a side project where we just did some covers. But I did in L.A. I was in two different all-female bands, one called Cockpit, one called Sucker Star. And they were great, and it was never really an intention one way or another to do it or not do it after I left. So it just kind of evolved into what it is, Andalusia Rose, today.
Joanne?
When Thorazine formed in 93, there were not a whole lot of female musicians to draw from. And it was really hard for me to form a band. It took me years. I started in the late 80s trying to form a band, and it took forever. And I met Dallas, our drummer, Elliot, who's my husband and our guitarist, and they actually let me come audition. And then they wanted to make a band with me. So it wasn't as much they were male or female. There were people who wanted to play music and knew how to do it. And it worked out amazingly. But yes, Roisin has always been male. Now, we recently replaced our bass player, and we could have gone either way, but we wound up with a guy. It was not a choice.
We've been talking today with two long-term front women for bands on either side of the country. Joanne Rogan is the lead singer for Thorazine out of Philly. She can be found at www.thorazine.org and on her Facebook page as well. Wendy Gadzuk is the lead singer for Andalusia Rose and can be found at andalusiarose.com and on her Facebook page at The Andalusia Rose Band. I really want to thank you guys. I think there were more topics we could have covered, but I thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll leave you with the music of Andalusia Rose Band with Just a Thought. This was fascinating. I hope that the listener enjoyed it. This was our segment on Women of Alternative Rock. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. This originally aired at WESU Wesleyan. And until next time, I hope you take care. Love lost its fate away. It was something.